This morning, I wish to reflect for a few moments on the notion of shalom. Shalom is an idea from the Jewish world that's often translated into English as peace, but it really encompasses much more than that. It includes the idea of well-being, welfare, peace, harmony in diversity, wholeness, sharing, and finding commonality and community. It is a rich and inclusive term. I joined a carol singing party at John and Satya's on Friday evening, and we sang some old traditional tunes. Have you ever noticed just how many carol that perennial hope for peace? Unitarian minister Edmund Sears writes in It Came Upon a Midnight Clear in 1849, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." And that other Unitarian poet, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, wrote in 1864, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Now, maybe he's just quoting the other guy. I'm not sure. But the theme of peace is unmistakable at this time of year. The baby Jesus is the coming of peace for many people. But when does it come? On Christmas Day? How many know how many sleeps it is till Christmas? Charlotte? Charlotte's not here anymore. Wouldn't it be fantastic if suddenly there was peace in the world after Christmas? Hanukkah has begun already. It started this week on Tuesday evening and goes for 8 days and nights until dusk on Wednesday. Hanukkah celebrates the radical hope that a small group of guerrilla fighters could best a larger and better trained army, the Greek army of Antiochus, which was attempting to force Greek culture and religion on the Hebrews. Not only did they win the battle against the odds, their small supply of consecrated oil in their temple, which was supposedly only enough for one day, lasted for eight. A miracle happened. Despite the fact that there was not enough oil, they lit the lamp anyway. They had hope, and so they resisted the reality of the situation. They remained loyal to their vision of a world based on generosity, love of the stranger, and a God who promised that life could be based on justice and peace. The point is that their hope did not die despite the odds. They made plans for their future despite the facts. Professor Joan de La Plaine writes, "Hope keeps us from being paralyzed and gives us courage to act." Perhaps the courage plus the perseverance and the fortitude to act for peace. Rabbi Michael Lerner writes in the journal Tikkun, "It is this same radical hope, whether rooted in religion or secularist belief systems, that remains the foundation for all who continue to struggle for a world of peace and social justice at a time when the champions of war and injustice dominate the political and economic institutions of our society. It is that radical hope that is celebrated this Hanukkah. Christmas is another holiday of hope, derived too from the pagan solstice celebrations that reaffirmed that light would come back after the dark days of the wintertime. The birth of any child is an occasion for hope for the future. The birth of Jesus is a hope with capital H, affirmation for the future of all people. This was the birth of the Messiah who had come to challenge the existing systems of economic and political oppression. Hope was that he would bring a new era of peace on earth, social justice, and love. African theologian Desmond Tutu reminds us that it is in our relationships that we become real. He says, "We can be human only together. We can prosper only together." The African philosophy of Ubuntu says, I am because we are, and since we are, therefore I am. Humans always need to restore and reconcile their connections to others and build community. Humans need to right their relationships. We are always becoming off right. Right relationship leads to peace within and peace among our friends and neighbors. Dr. Jared Vanderhaar writes about language of nonviolence, nonviolence in the spirit of Gandhi and Martin Luther King. He says that we can initiate this language ourselves. We don't have to wait for someone else. I'm sure many of us already avoid hurting each other in our manner of speaking. We leave out the shouting, the humiliating of others, the put-downs, the excessively obscene language that is designed only to shock. He suggests that we can also leave out the use of metaphors that refer to violence, especially when it's not meant literally. For instance, in response to a query, "Are you ready for the questions? Fire away." Well, I don't really want anybody to fire away at me with their guns, thank you very much. Whether it's military jargon or the crime pages in the tabloids, we don't need to use that kind of language that implies hurt or is hurtful. Vanderhaar avers that when we deliberately use such nonviolent language, it changes our hearts too. We develop a more peaceful heart. This is, of course, a peaceful heart that comes as we develop this personal spiritual practice of always being mindful of how we say things. It seems to me that speaking this language of peace is a first step to a personal peace within, a mindfulness of my attitude to others. I certainly cannot change how others feel about me, but I can be mindful of how I think, how I feel, and how I speak. Perhaps if we open ourselves to the hopeful practice of nonviolent language, there can be peace in the world, first of all in our personal worlds, which will inevitably affect others. I think of that notion of the butterfly wings that can change the world. Then we might pay attention to those actions of ours that bring peace within. Maybe you would wish to spend more time with your family than trying to find the right present for them. Maybe you'd rather spend your money on a good cause, even your church, or a good time with your friends and family than on mere presents. Paying attention to what it is that brings peace in your heart is the part of this season I wish to emphasize. It brings to the front those other parts of the word shalom, wholeness and harmony, which come when we recognize that we are connected in so many ways to so many other people. When we can come to peace in our own relationships, then we can bring peace to the world. I want to conclude with a poem by Maya Angelou. It's called Amazing Peace, and it was written in 2005, but it could have been written this year. Thunder rumbles in the mountain passes, and lightning rattles the eaves of our houses. Floodwaters await us in our avenues. Snow falls upon snow, falls upon snow to avalanche over unprotected villages. The sky slips low and gray and threatening. We question ourselves. What have we done to so affront nature? We worry, God. Are you there? Are you there really? Does the covenant you made with us still hold? Into this climate of fear and apprehension, Christmas enters, streaming lights of joy, ringing bells of hope, and singing carols of forgiveness high up in the bright air. The world is encouraged to come away from rancor, come the way of friendship. It is the glad season. Thunder ebbs to silence, and lightning sleeps quietly in the corner. Floodwaters recede into memory. Snow becomes a yielding cushion to aid us as we make our way to higher ground. Hope is born again in the faces of children. It rides on the shoulders of our aged as they walk into their sunsets. Hope spreads around the earth, brightening all things, even hate, which crouches, breeding in dark corners. In our joy, we think we hear a whisper. At first it is too soft, then only half heard. We listen carefully as it gathers strength. We hear a sweetness. The word is peace. It is loud now. It is louder, louder than the explosions of bombs. We tremble at the sound. We are thrilled by his presence. It is what we have hungered for. Not just the absence of war, but true peace. A harmony of spirit, a comfort of courtesies, security for our beloveds and their beloveds. We clap hands and welcome the peace of Christmas. We beckon this good season to wait a while with us. We, Baptist and Buddhist, Methodist and Muslim, say, come, peace. Come and fill us and our world with your majesty. We, the Jew and the Jainist, the Catholic and the Confucian, implore you to stay a while with us so we may learn by your shimmering light how to look beyond complexion and see community. It is Christmas time, a halting of hate time. On this platform of peace, we can create a language to translate ourselves to ourselves and to each other. At this holy instant, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ into the great religions of the world. We jubilate the precious advent of trust. We shout with glorious tongues at the coming of hope. All the earth's tribes loosen their voices to celebrate the promise of peace. We, angels and mortals, believers and non-believers, look heavenward and speak the word aloud, peace. We look at our world and speak the word aloud, peace. We look at each other, then into ourselves, and we say without shyness or apology or hesitation, peace, my brother. Peace, my sister.